Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to talk about good news in your company when you grow to the point of starting to add some employees, and also, you know, when it's time to start outsourcing some things that, you know, the creative entrepreneurs, a lot of us are do-it-yourselfers, and you want to hold on to every last thing, and sometimes it's time to let go. What do you have going on, bud?
So this week, I want to talk about the importance of side projects. They can really be beneficial. A good question is, alt text really a factor? And alt text is what you find in your images. I'll get deeper into that. And that's for SEO. Now you can edit something else new that's related to what you do in your Google business profiles. So we'll talk more about that. All right. Why don't you start with your first one?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, our company now, my wife started this back in 2014. So we're approaching a decade here. And for a while it was just her. And then I joined her. And, you know, we realized that we can't really scale this company. We can't grow it to the size that we want it to be with just us doing it. You know, every client we add, it's that much more physical work that we need to do.
Right.
So we got to the point. Yeah. So we got to the point where we're like, if this ceiling is going to push any higher, we need to add some people on board. And, you know, at first that seemed like a really daunting task. You know, is this something that maybe we think about going overseas or tasks on Fiverr or, you know, different things like that. And we realized that, no, the way to do it for us is to find people that are close by, that are, you know, local to us, that have the interest and the time to be able to start small with us. So what mm-hmm. we realized is that we don't need to have this huge package of a salary ready for someone and benefits and all this when you're adding somebody on. It's as simple as just adding them on as a part-time employee, and you give them one task and they do that task well, then you give them another one and you grow slowly from there. And, you know, we added an employee, 4 or 5 years ago. We started with a graphic artist. And, you know, what was great about that was her skill set in that area was way better than we are. And, you know, I know what it's like to be an artist at different levels. I've seen somebody pick up one of these guitars behind me and play it way better than I can. And it's that same way when you get a graphic artist who really knows what they're doing. So in our world, all of a sudden it raised our capacity, but also it raised the quality of our output by getting someone who was specialized in that area. And, you know, I started her with one client. I said, hey, you know, we've got 15 or 16. I want to see how you do with this one. And she did a great job. So by the next month, I threw 3 to 5 clients at her. And then, you know, 4 months in, she was doing almost all of our graphics. And I was then freed up to grow the business in other directions. So it was really nice to find people whose skill set complements ours, not, you know, it's not redundant, and, you know, start small, grow over time. And then, you know, the modern day worker really likes to be able to work remote, work on their own schedule and on their own time, give them fair wages. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, outwardly what we're paying and everything, but fair wages, and they've been happy, they've been loyal, and they've grown with us. We've gone from, you know, a company of, you know, just my wife to then myself with her to, you know, upwards of 8 or 9 people in different areas and different tasks. And it's really been a good way to scale what it is that we are doing. So, you know, have you had anyone that you've ever brought in, you know, directly with you on your team? You know, what's your experience with employees?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think to your point, it's really important to recognize that two things, really. One, there are people that can do certain tasks better than you. And when you find them and then bring them on board, as you put it, even if it's just a freelance basis to start or a small contract, that's going to help your business grow. And you can focus on the second part, time, on the things that are, one, important to you or allow you to grow your company. And that's always been the case. And it certainly has been the case with me. I've had one person that I've worked with, that's April, for about 20 years. And she's worked with us through the photography, representing us, working with clients, is simple as smaller tasks once in a while, such as maybe assisting even. And today she's grown with the company and she's now a project manager. And awesome. So she's the full-time employee. And, you know, is on payroll like I am, and it works great. And then most everybody else is a referral partner or is a contractor or freelance, and it all works out well. So yeah, I think it's important to really be thinking through it. No matter what kind of creative business you have, start thinking about it, even small scales, little things that take up your time and don't allow you to do the things that you want to do, the reason why you're a creative entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah. I look at it like, you know, you're a creative entrepreneur. You've got like this flame that you're trying to push your creative thoughts into the world. And these side tasks are kind of like wind that, you know, unfocuses that flame. So yeah, that's it's good. I'm glad to hear that you've had that same thing happening with you. So, all right. So to toss it back to you, your first one, side projects, what you got?
Yeah. So side projects, I think, are really important. I mean, I really think that educating yourself continuously is important, but side projects allows you to get away from the client business. Client business can really zap your creativity because, I mean, I remember many times going into, say, a big agency years ago and show them a great portfolio. Maybe we were representing a photographer and we showed a portfolio that was amazing and they're really excited about the skills and what they brought to the table. Maybe the lighting was very unique. And then they would say, okay, now can you shoot this thing on white, you know, with basic lighting? And that we get hired for the creativity, but then they want you to do basic stuff. I think that's very common in many areas of the creative world. And you're going to find that over and over again. So you still need to have side projects to keep you excited about the things that you like to do, whether it is design, music, you know, photography, whatever it may be, whatever kind of creativity that you are into, you know there's an area of your business that is your bread and butter. And maybe you're a sculptor. I mean, maybe, but there is one thing that sells over and over again and relatively easily. But over time, it's like, I'm getting tired of doing this. You know, I'm tired of this basic, yeah, I've hit on something. It does strike a nerve. People like it. But after a few years, I've had enough of this. Now, you may not want to stop it, but you do need to take the time to do and create stuff for you. And also, in that process, things that will help you learn. And that's why I like doing coding projects. That's why I like working with AI. That's why I like creating and trying to be a little bit on the edge of what is happening in my field, because that allows me, one, to stay ahead of the game, but two, keeps me excited about what my industry offers.
Yeah, keeps you out of your, you know, if you develop a comfort zone, you know, they say creatives die in a comfort zone. And, yeah, you know, you pushing outside that. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I keep my brain very engaged with side projects and, you know, writing an album with my band and stuff like that. So it really helps me coming back to, you know, the 9 to 5, what pays the bills, to have other things going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you have next?
So, all right, well, I'm continuing on the theme of, you know, not losing your creative passion for why it is you are a creative entrepreneur. You know, a lot of us became creative entrepreneurs because naturally we have a do-it-yourself attitude. And with that attitude, you tend to bite off a little more, not a little more than you can chew, but maybe a little more than you want to chew. And things like taxes and payroll and invoicing are all things that earlier on I just handled as part of running, you know, this business. So I did taxes myself. I tried my best to do payroll. And when I realized that, you know, there are professionals that honestly don't charge an arm and a leg for these services and they just handle it, it's so nice, because honestly, those are not things I looked forward to doing running a creative business. That's the dry stuff. That's the, you know, the stuff you get stuck in that, you know, can kind of extinguish the flame of you, why it is you have wanted to, you know, create this business. So things like human resources stuff, even SEO and building a website, stuff like that, that, you know, we're not the best at and we want to outsource and get rid of. So that way we can focus on, again, what we do best. So it's all about delegating and outsourcing and focusing on your new areas of what it is you want to do to make yourself feel satisfied in what you do. And kind of back to your point, Rosh, with the side projects, that's really where you discover what it is that you're going to, you know, do next, you know, and as a creative entrepreneur, we need to think about not just growing linear. We can grow in any direction with our companies. So, you know, I got into producing drone shots with my, you know, my good buddy Andres, who was on the show a few months back. That really sparked my interest and my passion to do something different. And, you know, it broke the mold for that. So it was great. So yeah, just making sure that you're not, if you realize that you're running a business and you're getting stuck doing the things that don't ignite your passion, figure out a way to get rid of that task. And that's, you know, my biggest advice in that area. Anything you want to add on to that?
One thing that what you're saying, I was thinking about goals and how we have goals or things that we want to accomplish. And I will often recommend that you should have a goal beyond your goal. Because once you accomplish that goal, sometimes you're like, now what? Sometimes there's even a sense of, you know, doom and gloom because, okay, you've accomplished the great thing you wanted to accomplish and you don't have a now what? You don't have a next stop. So it's important to develop that. And to your point of working on those side projects and developing your next thing that you kind of have an eye on, or a few next things that you could have your eye on, because, you know, there are people who say, wow, you know, if I could only get, you know, a really good client that would pay me to photograph regularly. And then you get that client and you're paying the bills with that client, or maybe a few clients, and now you're bored. You know? And so you that was a big goal. And you think, only if my life would be perfect if this could happen. And then you find, okay, well, there could be more. And so having those additional things to go beyond and say, what will be my next thing to keep me, you know, enthused and excited. Yeah.
And you're only going to be receptive to what that next thing is when you're not bogged down in the details of a lot of the other things that you could delegate.
So, yeah. Yep. Good. Exactly. Good stuff.
Be ready for it. All right. Alt text. How's that doing with SEO?
So yeah, you know, there was a article in Search Engine Journal about this, and they kind of go through different topics. I don't always agree with what their conclusions are. However, you know, I agreed with this one. Is alt text a ranking factor? Now, alt text is the text that you find within your images. Maybe you show a portfolio. And there's also a conflict there, because that text is there for a very specific reason. People who can't see or have some sort of disability that make it tough for them, this text allows maybe the computer to read it for them, to tell them what the picture's about, but also helps the search engines know what that image is about. However, it is a ranking factor. And if you have an interesting picture for some reason of a family, sake of argument, and you describe that family and you're about selling a specific widget, well, if you have a bunch of pictures that don't mention the widget or where you are or specifically what you're trying to rank for, now it's a conflict to the search engines. And so you need to have some sort of a balance. But I do think it's important for you to think about ways in which you can use that alt text to boost what that page is about as much as what that image is about, because it will help you overall. So, you know, I had a great conversation with a web developer the other day who's all about making sure his alt text is totally related to the imagery. And he had a theme on a website that had nothing to do with the topic. It was a sports theme. And the sports theme had nothing to do with the technology that he was creating that website for. And so we had all these sports analogies throughout the whole website, confusing the search engines. I mean, obviously, you looking at it would know, hey, oh, I get it. It's cute, you know, and hey, I like this sport, and you know, you can relate, but you know, the search engine, the search bots, they're not that smart. So it's something you need to work through. Yeah. So anyway, I thought I would share that.
Yeah. On Instagram, alt text is certainly helpful. We've noticed that, you know, at least it helps reach and, you know, the algorithm that you're doing another one of the things that it's asking for. So
right. Absolutely. So, but I mean, how literal are you with that alt text?
We don't make it as much of a priority. We're probably 3 to 5 words at most describing an image and, you know, not really, but you know, we're not worried about an overall website SEO.
Yeah,
and everything.
That's true. You're not worried about a web page. Yeah. Good point. Right. Good point. Yep. All right.
Well, yeah. Just my question for you is, you know, what's your number one recommendation for delegating, outsourcing, anything, you know, what have you found to be most effective that you've gotten rid of?
I'll tell you one thing that I have found least effective before I tell you what I find most effective.
Ooh, nice.
Least effective for me have been friends. And I have, you know, I have some smart friends who I'm talking like longtime friends who've been around for 20 years, may not have any direction in this industry, but, you know, maybe there's some things they can do. And I bring them in and it just doesn't work. Now, that there's a big difference between that and a friend who has a specialty in an area that's connected to you and you trust them and you know right. They can do a good job. There's a big difference between that. But sometimes with friends, I think you will kind of, you know, try to put that, you know, square block in the round hole kind of thing. And it just doesn't always work out so well. And not only that, you give them the benefit of the doubt probably longer than you would for other people. So they may end up staying around longer than they should. And so right. It can really, really hurt.
Friends or family too. Yeah.
Yeah. Or family. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Friends or family. And I think also as far as, you know, the idea of delegating and outsourcing, you know, contractor, whether freelance or contract or hiring as an employee, I think, yeah, start small, but do it. I think that's just the best advice. Once you do it and get through the process, then you understand, one, the value, how it affects your company. And it's not a question of how to do it. It's just, okay, who's the next one? You know, when you see the next need, it's a lot easier. So you have to go through the process once.
And when you do it the right way, it's not how much is this employee going to cost me? It's how much money can this employee make me?
Yeah. Save or make. Either way. Yeah. Absolutely. Good thoughts.
All right. Last one you had to bring it home. There was an edit on Google.
Yeah. So now you can edit your social media profiles in Google My Business. Before, you couldn't edit as easily on the system, and now you can. So you can make adjustments and edits. Now, I don't want to go too far on what you can do. I've only read about it. I haven't dug into it yet. So I may follow up with a little more information when I know more, but I also know that it was kind of a problem before. So now this has been available to some accounts. It's now available to all accounts. So if you had a problem with your, maybe the naming elements or something related to your social media platforms in your Google My Business, take a look and see if you can make that adjustment now.
Yeah, noted. We have we represent quite a few clients on Google My Business, and sometimes there are issues with their listings and, you know, different things. Yeah. So yeah, we will make a note of that. Appreciate it.
Very good. Well, I think that's the show. Yes. Hey, if you have questions, head on over to creativeentrepreneurshow.com and we'll talk to everyone next time.
Yeah, I know we've had a few inquiries. We might have a couple people coming up on a few shows. We're trying to get some scheduling figured out. So that's exciting. And again, if anyone's listening and they, you know, want to be a part of the conversation or you want to have certain questions answered, reach on out to us. We look forward to it.